This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by Everbank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
Good evening and welcome inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field for another edition of the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman and head coach Gus Bradley. This program, may note, this is the last Gus Bradley Show for a couple of weeks. Next week is Thanksgiving. And unless you're planning on being here.
Now I know.
I know he ain't going to be here.
Nope.
Jeff, by this time, is comatose from as much turkey
cornbread
as he eats.
Cornbread stuffing, turkey, ham.
So we got no shot, and I didn't figure you and I could handle the show without him, so we canceled it for next week.
All right.
The week after is obviously the Thursday night game against the Houston Texans, so we will resume the Gus Bradley Show 3 weeks from tonight, followed, of course, by Jaguars Thursday. How are you tonight, Coach?
I'm doing great.
How's
doing
your week
great.
Been?
It's been great. It's been, you know, we had quite a few guys with limited or out of practice on Wednesday, so we decided to go no pads, and really an effective practice. I was really excited about how our guys came out and competed, and we got a lot accomplished. It felt like one of our better Wednesday practices.
How many of those do you have left? Padded practices?
Three.
Because, what, you're only allowed 14 on the season.
Yeah, so we have three left.
You think they'll use them?
Yeah, you know what? On a Thursday night, obviously the Thursday night game that you were talking about, probably will be no padded week. We'll use them, but, you know, maybe use two of the three.
Are you one of those old school coaches that hates that rule?
Well, you know, I think it's nice to have them all and then offer flexibility. I think you just really got to look at your team and where they're at to decide, you know, like this week we did.
You know, folks who listen have heard Jeff and Tony talk about, you know, it's tough to play well unless you practice well. And I mean, how difficult is it for a guy, you know, name any of the guys who were, you know, standing on the sidelines today or working off on the side, how difficult is it for them to play at a high level, you know, at this time of the year, banged up, trying to get healthy, and obviously without all the reps?
Well, you know, you got to weigh your options. And I think, you know, preparation, the week of practice is crucial. And I think it just builds the right mindset going into the game. And, you know, if you have really good preparation, you gain confidence. So I think it's really dependent on the player. You know, how confident can he go into the game with limited amount of practice reps? And you know, that's, I think, what you got to look at. And it differs from player to player.
Has the last couple weeks been good? I mean, because, I mean, you've had a couple injuries over the last, 2 weeks, and you've played a number of different guys even before the injuries came about. But, I mean, is that good for your team to where you get guys kind of more exposure?
Well, I think so. You know, as long as you can get guys in there and they're effective and productive, it's a good thing. You know, we saw it. I think just for morale, too, it's good. You know, like take, for example, Josh Evans was playing, and now Winston goes in and has his little package that he's accustomed to, or he knows he's going to get reps, and you just see him elevate his play. And it's good in the meeting rooms. It's good for the team. So you'd like to play as many as you can, obviously, without dropping production.
With some of those guys getting the exposure or the play time, who is taking advantage of it the most?
Well, you know, defensively, guys like Winston Guy has done a nice job. John Latule has done a good job. TJ has done an excellent job for his opportunities he's got in. You know, we really challenged, I think last week we were talking about challenging our second-tier guys as far as playing time on our defensive line. Senderek, we were talking about, boy, it's tough when he goes 65 plays in a game. We'd like to knock that down to 40. We really need to elevate some of those guys. Brandon Diederich showed up, did a nice job. You know, I think we gained more trust in him. On the offensive side, obviously, Mike Brown, what a great thing to have him and see how he's developed and how, you know, the trust has been with those guys. So, and Todman, he's going to get more reps this week in different situations. And, you know, so I think there's a number of guys. Brewster, really, the list could go on and on.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. If you'd like to visit with the Jaguars head coach here in the Gus Bradley Show, you know, let's go back to the defense in particular. And Russell Allen moves inside. You know, John that's how you say it. You say it differently, so I just say John, right?
Johnny
with all the hair. Johnny hair. You know, both of them get a shot. Your defense last week took Andre Ellington, who's a guy I know that Jeff was just raving about, and Mendenhall, who's a power back. I mean, you did a phenomenal job stopping the run without the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Coach, what did you do that worked so well?
Well, I think obviously the defensive staff did a really good job preparing our guys. And then that's the flexibility you have with Russell Allen. That's why he's so valuable to our team. He can play Sam, he can play Mike, he can play Will at any time. And I think it's a credit to Russell to go there and really take charge of the defense and get us aligned properly, make the proper adjustments. He's really sharp, and I think that part made it a smoother transition. And then some of those other guys, since Johnny played the week before against Tennessee, obviously it helped because he saw more playing time against Arizona.
The guy that I thought that elevated his play last week against Cardinals was Roy Miller. I know he's been banged up a little bit, dealing with a shoulder, I guess, on the injury report for numerous weeks. He played better.
He did. I think he's been battling a little bit with that shoulder. And I think, his biggest concern is he doesn't want to let his teammates or the coaching staff down. But it's tough, right? I mean, you've got a difficult injury that you're dealing with. And for him to battle through that and play as well as he did, it's really a credit to him.
Three tackles, two behind the line of scrimmage. That's exactly what you're looking for from a big guy on the inside,
right?
Isn't it?
Disrupt in the middle. That's good.
Got a sack taken away from
him.
Yeah. Jersey's happy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, folks, you can visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, and get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news, plus a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. This is the Gus Bradley Show, and we're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Rolling right along with the head man tonight. You can join us 355-NFL 1-800-355-6351. Jaguars back in the division this week at Reliance Stadium on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock for those of you in Jacksonville. Turn us on for the Public's Tailgate Show. It runs 2 hours with J.P. Shadrick and crew. Jaguars pregame picks up at noon Eastern time. Kickoff at 1. All the action right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
You've got six games remaining. And your mantra with you and Dave coming into the season has been just get better. With six games remaining, where do you expect to get better?
Well, you know what? That's the challenge we talked to our team about. And there's a lot of different things we're looking at. One, we really challenge our team now to really get out of their comfort level. And, under things that they can control. But, we're talking in terms of, all right, let's move out to the edge now. Let's move out to the edge and really challenge ourselves because the view over the cliff could be beautiful. And, getting better looks, is a good thing, and we want them to envision that. So we're really challenging our team to get more consistent and challenge themselves to kind of take that next step.
One area that is very apparent that you guys have improved on special teams. Mike Mallory is doing a great job.
You know what? It is. And we talked about that with our team in the team meeting. A bunch of stats. It wasn't like one or two categories. There's 9 or 10 categories where we are in the top 10. And I think a lot of that credit goes to Dave Caldwell and his staff for, elevating the roster. We said we could improve the bottom third of the roster through waivers and picking up guys, although we had to do 230 players to get to it. It's a credit to those guys. And for Mike Mallory, you got guys coming in at all different times of the year and to really form a team, a unit that has a lot of pride and is so productive compared to where we were at the early part of the preseason is a credit to all those guys. And finally, how about the players? They've really bought into the system and they're playing with spirit, and it's great to see.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk with Mike numerous times through the year. He's so calm.
Yeah.
Is he that way as a coach too? Because with all the turnover, you almost have to have it.
Well, he's a tremendous leader. At the University of Michigan, I believe he was the only 2-time captain under Bo Schembechler. So he's got strong leadership skills, and the players have really bought into him. His message is really clear. It's not complicated what he's doing, but like we say, it's simple but not easy. He really coaches the fundamentals. Him and Matt Smiley, and every week they're just doing it over and over and over again. And the simplicity allows us to bring new guys in and they can pick up in the scheme pretty quick.
Let's go to the offensive side of the ball, Coach. And I can't help but think 9 of 40, which the last two games is third down.
Right.
That, even without some of the guys you're playing without right now, if that was 18 of 40, still less than 50%, that would make a huge difference in the offense's ability to play at a higher level.
Without a doubt. Even last week, if we had a third and one, we didn't get it. Even if we converted on two more third downs, it'll put us at 47%. And, you know, now you're one of the tops in the league. So, you know, each game it's one or two conversions that we're looking at. But if we had one or two conversions last week in the game with the field position,
you might
we had,
win.
Yeah, it could have changed the outcome.
You know, the reason that I bring it up is because when people look at the defense, they go, wow, they've gotten better against the run. Look what they've done the last 2 weeks. And they look at the offense, they say, well, you don't have Luke Jokel out there, and Blackman's not there, and Maurice has not played well for being injured this year. And so maybe they can't get better on the offensive side. And I know that that is a defeatist way that you look at it. But the other side is, if you just change third down, does that help you get better? What else do you need to do?
Well, you know, we have to find a way to run the ball. And that's what we're exploring this week. When, you know, we talked about, you know, many of the backs in the NFL, you look at, you know, the teams, they have a number one back. And then they're slowly evolving to where there truly is a number two back, and he gets the ball. And, you know, maybe 5-8 times a game, and it's in order to keep that number one back fresh. And I think we need to explore that. And, you know, with Mojo carrying the burden of the load, you know, we might need to give Todman and some other guys some reps just so we have a fresher Mojo, and then let's see what he can do. And, you know, it really takes all 11, though, you know, with the running game. The starting up front, receivers, you know, stock blocking and crack blocking, and then the running back as well.
If you... Does the running game, improving that, change third down? I mean, are they hand-in-hand, Coach, or is that a little bit of a reach?
Well, I think if you look at the – you know, it does. I think if you look at the league stats, it's very difficult to convert on third down if it's third and seven-plus. The percentage drops down greatly. Well, you try to avoid third and seven-pluses. How do you do it? You do well on first and second down. And how do you do well on first and second down? You run the ball. So, yeah, it is tied hand-in-hand.
A couple weeks ago, Denard Robinson was kind of the guy that you're talking about now when you're talking about – Todman.
Right.
Has that changed?
Well, I think that, you know, we're going to see him. We'll see all the backs this week. I mean, at least that's the plan. And, you know, I think we're still trying to figure out. Jordan has done a nice job on kickoff return. He shows spurts of it. I think we're just trying to figure out who that person is along with Mojo.
I was thinking on the third and ones and all that, and just throw it to Danny Noble.
Instead of wait till fourth down, why make it so stressful, huh?
You know, you have to tell folks, because you told us that story. We were talking about your roster and your practice squad a month ago maybe, right when you got him. And you said, here's this guy who just keeps making plays on the practice field.
Yeah, you know, he came in as a practice squad player, and once he had a good comfort level with the offense, we quickly elevated him up to the 53-man roster. And then the challenge was to get him active. And we just felt like he had a lot of talent, you know, something that could add to our offense, and we had to find a way to get him in the game.
So we're going to see that quite often, fourth and one, your own territory backed up, and I'm in the booth saying, punt it. You're going to go for it?
Well, but you're not scared of it. I mean, he...
Well, you know what? I think, you know what? We talked to our team. You know, last week's message was that we were going to be bold and we were going to be aggressive. And again, it's talking about get closer to that edge and really get out of our comfort level. And I think, you know, we want to take advantage of opportunities, just like the long field goal or the, you know, the going for it on fourth down. I think it's a demonstration to our team that we are going to be bold and their personalities, you know, must relate to that.
I got to give you credit because at the end of the half, you use your timeouts very wisely to give yourself an opportunity, a 60-yard field goal try, because the week before, I criticized Mike Munchak because he did not do the same. I mean, you gave yourself a chance at getting points.
Right, and, you know, that's why, you know, we try to use our timeouts as effectively as possible, and it worked out to our advantage. We'd like to get closer, but still, you know, I think it was, you know, again, Josh, what are we going to do, throw it up in the end zone? No, let's be bold and give Josh an opportunity, who has been 100% on field goals, an opportunity to get us another 3 points. And, you know, the team felt it.
I've got an officiating question for you, but I'm not going to put you in a position to be cost any money.
Ready? Okay.
Just curious how frustrating it can be on the sidelines there, where you've got something that you've seen, that your coaches have seen, that you can see on the Jumbotron, and you can't get there with the officials. They're not buying it.
Yeah, you know what? It can be at times.
Because you were very animated on Sunday.
Yeah,
very.
You know, yeah, that's right. You know, I think it is difficult. They have a difficult job. You know, throughout the game, players make mistakes, coaches make mistakes. And at times, officials can make mistakes. And I think what's most important with the head coach and the officials is communication. And when the communication isn't as good as you'd hope, that becomes frustrating. Now, for the majority of the year, the officials have been great with that. But at times, you know, they have their beliefs and you have your beliefs, and they're taught to handle things a certain way. And, you know, you just you go about it. And I think at times they'll admit maybe they missed one or two. And if they say that, what can you do?
So at the end of the game, you go, you and Jeff Triplett have a nice conversation yeah. and say, hey, man, good to see you.
Yeah, well, it's maybe not quite like that.
Well, I could just see, I could just see your body.
Did that just get me in trouble?
No. Your body language said, please listen to me.
Yeah, you know, and he did. He did listen. You know, he did listen, and he understood the point I was making. And it comes back to what can they do after the call has been made.
How's your elbow? I mean, you threw that flag pretty hard, you know.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes the passion shows through, I think.
It is a passionate game. I think you said that earlier in the week. We need a break. Come back with us, folks. You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Right, the Gus Bradley Show is brought to you every Thursday evening here on the Jaguars Radio Network and all across the Southeast by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggam, and Joe Fortunato with the head coach. You can join us at 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. We can't go too much further without pointing out the play of Alan Ball. Four passes defense. Bring him up because he's a former Houston Texan, and that's where your team is this week, playing against Andre Johnson. What a great boost for him to go back and face one of the best receivers in the game, coming off his best game as a Jaguar.
You know what? I've really been impressed with Allen. You know, I just go back a couple games. The Tennessee game where they had an explosive play, and it was over the top of him. And at that point, after that series, he came over the sideline, and we talked. And I know he talks with Coach Walker quite a bit, but Alan Ball and I had a chance to talk, and we were talking about the technique and about just stay true to your teachings. Just go ahead and don't try to get out of whack. Just do what you're supposed to do. They came back out, and you remember the backed-up situation where they took a shot, and he stayed on top. Out of bounds. I said, there you got it. You're perfect. Just stay in that zone. And the cool thing is he came into this game and played in that zone. And he started to make more and more plays. And I think those are the victories that we're talking about where our guys are gaining more and more confidence. And it's become clear exactly what they need to do. And he's going in this game with a great mindset.
Well, his mindset is that he's not afraid to tackle. A lot of corners don't do that.
No, and, you know, that was at times early in the season. We had to point some things out to him, what we expect of him. But he is a tremendous person for us in our locker room. Great leader in our locker room. Helps out those younger guys. And then what better way to lead than demonstrating it on the field?
And leading the young players on the other side, Dwayne Grotz, hamstring in the game against the Cardinals. Boy, when you hear hamstring in a cornerback, it's never good.
Yeah, you know what? He's battling that a little bit. I think it, you know, he'll be able to fight through it and play and still play at a high level. But, you know, this time of the year, you're going to have some of those injuries.
Let's stay in the secondary for a minute because you came into the television studio Tuesday Night Logs and we're talking about Jonathan Cyprien. And the word that you used, having studied the tape, was stud. You really liked what you had seen from him.
I think he's playing well.
He is. You know what? And he did in the beginning, and then he hit that lull where I think he was still playing decent, but just maybe not as active as we had liked. And, you know, he got to be more active again. And, you know, that's some of the things you go through with younger players. But overall, very pleased with how he's performed. I mean, to be thrown in there as a rookie and to perform at the level he's been compared to some of the other safeties that are starting as rookies, you know, we're just excited about his future.
Well, what did you see when you turned the tape on that had you thinking so highly of him? I mean, what should people who are going to listen to this game and watch it on Sunday be looking for from Jonathan Cyprien?
The thing I noticed, Gus, correct me if I'm wrong, he seems to know where to be.
Yes, I would agree. You know, we put him in position, ideally with a guy like Jonathan Cyprien, you want him around the ball as much as possible. So for him to play deep middle third, you have to at times to change some things up, but you'd like to have him closer to the line of scrimmage where he can get batted balls, where he can get, you know, in the throwing lane, where he can make plays on the run. You want to keep him active. And I think that, you know, you're seeing more and more of him being down closer into the box.
Because a lot of young players, and it comes to my mind because watching the Houston Texans safety, the rookie safety, Swearinger,
DJ Swearinger.
And you can kind of tell that he's still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't –
young players typically don't become instinctive until their second year, whereas Cyprian is being instinctive, whereas Swearinger is not. And that's kind of the big difference that I see.
Well, Jonathan Cyprian's extremely competitive, and he wants to play like a fifth-year player right now. And if he's not, it really eats at him. And so he watches a lot of film. He practices with that mentality. And I think you're seeing him improve faster because of it.
You know, and one of the things that we've talked about over the years, Logs, on these airwaves is durability and being available is a huge talent. This is a guy who's played every snap on defense, and he plays a physical position.
Yeah, that's right. Knock on wood. But and look, he came into training camp, you know, which set him back just a little bit. You know, but yeah, very physical. And that's why you like those bigger physical safeties, because you know they're going to have chances to make a lot of plays, and they got to hold up.
The bigger physical safeties that can run.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
let's
add that
run,
to it too.
Forget yeah. it.
All
and,
right.
And then have a guy that's a ball hawk and around the ball like that. That's great.
Well, and you know, this week you're all going to see the tight ends for the Texans, who a week ago against the Raiders.
Jared Graham.
Yeah, 136 yards, which is a career high, the most ever for a Texans tight end. And the Cardinals tight ends had a pretty decent day for them. They had 9 catches.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know you're going to see the tight end spot. He's obviously a key factor.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it's different combinations of routes. Sometimes it, you know, it goes back to the, you know, the weak side corner. Sometimes it's the play side corner. Sometimes it's the linebacker. They do a good job trying to attack different zones on the field for us. And, you know, Oakland got hurt on some man coverages with them. But, you know, we're going to have to switch it up.
How important is it in terms of the tight ends to have Paul Posluszny on the field?
Well, Russell did a great job last week, you know, really trying to get the defense set up. But it's just a different level. And the only reason I say that is he's accustomed to playing that position. And, you know, that Mike linebacker spot for us, he's going to have roughly around 20 factors or 20 opportunities to have an impact on the game. And, you know, to have a guy like Puz back there managing that is great.
355-NFL-1-800-355-6351. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gates. So whether it's here at Everbank or on the road like it is this week at Reliant, snacks, food, drinks, all essential for your game day party, stop by Gate. Tell them we said hello today. More to come after this with the Jaguars Radio Network. Back on the Gus Bradley Show. You can join us, 355-NFL-1-800-355-6351. Let's grab a couple calls here. We've got Kyle, who joins us over across the river in Arlington. Hello, Kyle. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. And first off, I want to say to Coach Bradley, I think you played a very good game against a very good team last week. I was very impressed.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate those comments. You know, we're shooting to get even better. And, you know, but we'll get there. But I appreciate that, Kyle.
The improvement is steady. It's just a steady stream, and you can see it. My question, a technical question, when you can and cannot throw a red flag, one particular call that really upset us all here, I think, was, and I can't remember, it was third or fourth quarter when we took in through a beautiful pass, and they called it back because they said someone had called a timeout prior to the ball being snapped. I saw no evidence of that. Is that a situation where you can't put a red flag because you can't prove or disprove that?
Right.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, that was not a challengeable opportunity there. They came over and they said clearly officials saw him come on the field. You know, I think what was frustrating for us, Kyle, was that the whole play went through and we got an interception off of it. I think that's where it became frustrating, that it normally would have been called a lot earlier. And that's where I think a lot of the concern came from.
Yeah, because when you watch the coach's film, I showed it Monday night, the official comes from the Cardinals sideline, and he's waving his hands, but it wasn't – he wasn't very demonstrative.
Right, right. Know? And we didn't see it on our sideline. You know, we were watching it, and I – you know, you can see the officials and the head referee, and no one made a signal. No one made any motion. So it just appeared really odd, mm-hmm. you know, after the interception.
Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1-800-355-6351. Jim is on the south side. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Brian. Hello, Coach.
Good. How are you doing, Jim?
Oh, great. Thank you very much. I just had one question to ask the gurus, which are y'all. I've been a pretty I consider myself a pretty intelligent football fan since being in North Florida, having, you know, a plethora of great teams over the last couple of decades, you know, not to name out anybody in particular. But as far as these guys on ESPN snibbling about Jason Babin grabbing a guy's lock of hair, if the guy's too stupid to cut his hair, it's part of the uniform to get tackled with, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it can happen.
It's legal.
Yeah, it's legal. And it can happen in a game. So, you know, I know you see it on film and it looks odd, doesn't it?
Just a little.
The guy comes out of a pile with a clump of hair. So, yeah, it's just some of those. That's the part of being in the battle.
If you don't want to grab, get a cut. I mean, you know, I mean, it's the rule. I mean, it can be grabbed for tackling purposes. It just cannot be held. It's, you know, as an offensive player, you can't grab the hair and hold a guy.
Anything else, Jim?
Great. Yeah, I was about to ask you also about in linebacking in particular. I thought Russell Allen did an excellent job at the Mike linebacker, because I know last year during our season, he had like so many missed opportunities, but they could have really just slammed the door on the other team. And one in particular that really sticks out in my mind is when Chicago was here, and I'm not sure if it was last year or the year before, but Russell, he made a heck of a play and then intercepted it on his, you know, back and everything, and then it's one of those referee taboo type of deals, if I remember right.
Yeah, Russell's done a nice job for us. I mean, he is thrown into a difficult situation. You know, the week before, it was thrown in at the Mike spot and didn't get a lot of reps during practice. This week, you know, he had an opportunity, this past week, I should say, to get a couple days under his belt. And, you know, he continues to get better at that position.
Appreciate the phone call, Jim. Again, you could join us 800-355-6351. How about a thought on Jason Babin? Because you were talking about him the other day. Especially the way he played at the end of the ball game.
He really did. You know, as we watch the tape, that's part of the things you look at and evaluate as a coaching staff. How hard are you playing at the end? And, it just really jumped out at you. And it's a credit to our players, really. And then it just so happened, as we were watching those plays, two plays made by Jason Babin. And one was from the backside where he chased on a pass rush, came back, ran all the way across the field and made a play. And then on a screen, he got cut at the line of scrimmage, popped up, redirected. I mean, you saw flashes of Jason Babin that, you know, was really impressive. And I think, you know, it's really cool for him, because I know that, you know, he takes a lot of pride in that, and then be able to validate it on film is great.
The thing that impressed me with him is that his pass rush seemed to be more natural to him.
Yeah. And you know what? He's really helped it with Andre Branch and Ryan Davis, those guys too. He takes a lot of pride, not only in himself, but helping with that process. And I think those guys are gaining confidence because of it.
Three Leos, man.
Yeah.
He's got the new package, the Three Leo package.
Yeah, we're trying to get creative, you know, any way we can to get
three
some
sacks,
pressure.
It worked.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been good. We're still exploring other opportunities.
The story in the newspaper this morning was about Branch. And I mean, for anyone who wasn't listening, this is a guy, or pardon me, hasn't read it, is listening. This is a guy who over the last six games has 15 solo tackles. You know, is there a moment where you could say on the practice field or in a meeting where the switch flipped for him?
Well, I think with Brancher, he's probably received some criticism. I think if we all want to be truthful in his progress. As a coaching staff, we know that sometimes it takes some time. So the challenge with him was effort. Just, you know, that's one of the things you can control. Control your effort. And he did a beautiful job of that in preseason and during the regular season. And then the next challenge was, okay, let's get that pass rush going off of it. And you're seeing him come up with different moves. He's using different, you know, speed to power and speed rushes. And you can see his comfort level. You're seeing a better bend in Brancher. And I think, you know, that's good. All these are signs that he's moving in the right direction. Now he's got to, you know, go after it and still get better. But, boy, what great signs to be seen.
You know, I talked to him in the locker room today, and he put it on Todd Wash. I mean, he said, the more I listen, the more I learn when you're around a coach like that.
Yeah, well, Washer's a really, really good defensive line coach, and he has a great demeanor with those guys and, you know, really is up front, keeps it real with them, and they know what he expects. And if they're not getting the production they need, then he'll talk to them, and he just keeps challenging them, really on the same philosophy to get better. And, you know, he's got a great group with him.
Let's grab a break. More to come with head coach Gus Bradley here on the Gus Bradley Show. You're listening on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, our broadcast this evening is brought to you by PRI Productions. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach. You can join us 355-NFL-1-800-355-6351. Here's a topic for your discussion. J.J. Watt. Go get him.
Where do you start?
There's nowhere to end. I mean, yeah, this is a tremendous guy.
The thing that stands out to me is that last year he was unbelievable. He had 95, what I guess was considered negative plays, which was for 0 yards or minus yards. And I don't know when the last time the National Football League had a player that could generate that kind of number.
You know what? It is, it's hard to describe him watching tape. He is so disruptive. And, you know, at the, like I said earlier, at the point of attack, you try to run away from him. He chase plays down. You run bootlegs. He redirects. You drop back pass. I mean, all these things go into account. He's a really, really good football player, obviously. And I think we're aware of it, though. I mean, that's a good thing is we have film and we see it.
It's very rare that you find a guy that's just as effective down in what I call the mutter road, which is the defensive tackle spot, and then can kick out and still have the same impact as a wide rusher, and he's one of the few.
Well, you know what? We talk to our players. When it gets inside, some people don't like it because it gets real noisy in there. And, some people, the defensive ends don't like it down there where it gets real noisy. Well, he doesn't mind that noise. He can play down inside. He can play on the edge. He's athletic enough to do both. You know, he's the complete package.
A couple of weeks ago against Arizona, 2 forced fumbles, 2 fumbles recovered. I mean, that doesn't happen very often in the NFL.
No, you know, like I said, that's, you know, the qualities of a disruptive player. And they made a good pick when they got him.
He's got 30 quarterback hits on the year and 15 tackles for loss. I mean, this is a guy who theoretically is supposed to set up everything else for everyone around him, right?
Well, for a guy like that, it makes it difficult to put any attention elsewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, credit to him is the year that he had last year and then tremendous amount of pressure on him to perform up to those standards again. And he does it by just working hard. They'll put him head up on a tackle and have him 2-gap. Well, that's not ideal to get a lot of rush out of that position. But he doesn't seem to mind doing that. And, so you can see he has plays with a lot of unselfishness as well.
Is there another player in the league that would have a similar impact that he is having in the last couple years?
Boy, you know what? Just off the top of my head, you know, really disruptive rushers, you know, like the Freenies, you know, when the guys like that when you went in, you said, okay, we got a problem here.
But I would really like to have some ideas because, you know, I go and I think of a guy that impacts the run and the pass.
Well, that's where it's difficult because
you can't.
He can do both now. He can, you know, Freenies a great outside edge rusher. So is J.J. Watt. But Freenies not going to go where it gets noisy. You know, so to compare him to anybody, you know, you see a lot of guys that can 2-gap and play in there, but they're not as effective as rusher as him. So he really has a unique talent. He's really unique.
You know, the only guy I can think of you ever talking about in such glowing terms was Albert Haynesworth a few years ago.
When he had that
2006,
one banner year
2007, before he became a free agent and was just, you couldn't stop him. He was jumping over defense or offensive linemen.
Well, he was disruptive on the inside. They matched him up over guards, and that was a mismatch for him.
And Albert, that was his contract year, and JJ's doing it every year.
2007, 2008. Yeah, it's the last guy. So, all right, we need a break. We'll take it now and return with more with head coach Gus Bradley, including your phone calls, 800-355-NFL1. And you're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. You could join us, 355-NFL1. Let's grab Bertram, who joins us from the east side of Jacksonville with a thought for the head coach. Welcome to the show, Bertram. You're on with Gus Bradley.
How you doing today? How you doing, Jeff?
Good. I'm doing good. Did he say Jeff or Gus?
Jeff or Gus.
I just was calling in and tell you I appreciate everything y'all doing this year, and I love the way you coach the guys up, and I appreciate it watching the game every Sunday.
Well, I appreciate that, Bertram. Hopefully, like we said earlier to the earlier caller, we just want to keep getting better, and hopefully we can, you know, do something that makes this city proud.
All right, you can join us again, 355-NFL1.
You know, we spent that last segment talking about J.J. Watt, but there's another guy on that line who I like watching, Antonio Smith. Made the Pro Bowl last year. He likes to call himself the Ninja Assassin. I like to call him one heck of a football player.
Yeah, he's good. He, you know, it's really those two guys are the ones that, I mean, obviously J.J. Watt is elite, but he does some good things too. So really good, you know, up front in the defense line. They've had some injuries in the linebacker spot, and that's what they're trying to figure out, but I don't think they're too concerned about those two spots.
And a lot of people, I mean, obviously Brian Cushing is on injured reserve. He had another injury this year. So they're missing him on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, there's no Arian Foster, which a lot of people would first think, oh, no, they're missing Arian Foster. He is a great back. And I look at the film and I watch Ben Tate play, and I go, he's just as good.
Yeah, you know what? The zone scheme can do that. You know, backs that – look at the Denver years. You know, whoever they put in there.
Sure, Mike Anderson.
Yeah,
you remember him?
They had great success. And that's really – you know, Houston can rely on that. They know that, you know, Arian is obviously really good, elite. But they feel like any back they put back there, if he has NFL talent, they should be able to do well in the zone blocking scheme.
You remember Mike Anderson?
Yeah.
You know the thing I remember about him?
He was an Army sergeant?
Well, no. Was he the guy?
He's a Marine, I should take that back.
He didn't play high school football. He was in the band.
Yes.
The tuba.
Yes, he was.
Is that right?
Yes, he was.
I didn't know that part of it.
Yes, he was.
From tuba player to
1,000-yard rusher.
1,000-yard back.
Absolutely. They can get it done. Tate's a guy. He's playing with cracked ribs, too.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell it's bothering him a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah,
a little slow to get up.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. But still, you know, very effective runner.
What have you seen from Greg Jones on tape? I mean, this is a guy we always talked about. Boy, it really wouldn't be much fun to play against him.
Yeah. You know, obviously he's, you know, very savvy. Understands the zone schemes and fits up. Rarely see him do anything wrong. Knows exactly who he's targeting. And, you know, I think that's one guy, you know, we know about him in the locker room too. And the situation nice they're going through, I'm sure they appreciate his leadership.
Your linebackers know him.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they know what the
maybe not some of them. Old Johnny, you know,
he'll figure it out.
He'll figure it out real quick.
They know exactly what Greg Jones brings to the table.
Yeah, I mean, what a career he's had, and you know, just a class person, and you know, you do pull for him.
You bet. All right, we'll take our final break. Come back and wrap up the Gus Bradley Show. You're listening on Jaguars Radio. All right, we're back to wrap it up. About 3 minutes, and we've got to talk about special teams. Brian Anger had a tremendous game. 6 punts down to inside the 20-yard line. Really helped you, you know, give your offense a shot with field position. You know, the 9, the 3, the, you know, it was just tremendous. This week, he faces a guy who's pretty darn good in returning, in Keyshawn Martin. You guys got to be heads up on him, don't you?
Yeah, you know, talking to Coach Mallory and watching tape on him, you know, he said, you know, it doesn't look like a team that's only won 2 games. They're special teams. They play extremely hard, very effective with the return game. Really, all 4 of the main special teams areas that have been very effective. And, you know, we're going to have our work cut out for them.
Scobie, 60-yarder.
Yeah.
Did he describe what he did wrong on the 60-yarder?
You know what? And I talked to him, I think it was on Wednesday. And, you know, he wished he had the opportunity back. And it went to the left right away, and usually a long field goal like that, if you go at all to the left, you're probably going to miss it. And, you know, that's what he felt like he did. He just pushed it to the left a little bit too much, and then the wind, you know, just brought it to the left.
Why is that?
You know, I don't know why that is.
Probability study or something on that?
I just said, okay, as long as you know.
I figured Tony Khan ran that one for you in the analytics department.
Kickers, you know what? With the kickers, you just try to, you know, I converse with them and visit with them.
And
I love doing
on.
That. And then, yeah, they have a pretty good feel.
The you almost have to just leave it right on that.
Are you saying
exactly.
They're a different breed?
No, not at all. I love them. I was a punter. What do you mean? We're not a different breed.
What was your net average?
Now we're out of time.
Yeah, no. We've got about 50 seconds. Come on, Gus. What was it?
No.
In high school or college?
In college.
NDSU?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Starter?
Yeah.
Starting punter?
Yeah. 4 years.
All 4 years?
Yeah.
So do you talk a lot with Anger, you know?
Oh, yeah, we have good talks. He said I'm one of the few head coaches that has talked to him. I said, well, because I punted.
Gus, thanks so much for your time.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, we'll take this quick timeout. For those of you on the network, thanks for joining us in the Gus Bradley Show. For those of you in Jacksonville, hang on. Mark Brunell, Tony Boselli stepping in. Jaguars Thursday is next.